Hello and welcome to this episode of the Hype Train podcast with me, your host, Magnazan. I have with me Captain Beardo, or Beard Farce, as some know him as, Jacko.
Hi.
We're going to be... Hello, how are you today?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm very well. It's been a while since we've been on the air, mainly due to, two reasons. One was Chorus digging up my road and causing my internet to go to half speed. And given it's already half speed already, that was almost nothing. And also, we'd been training for Hawaii, the Worlds. Me particularly, I don't think Jacko did any. Did you do any training?
No, I did heaps of training.
Drinking training?
Yeah, well, drinking as well.
American portion size training?
Yeah. Practicing eating burgers.
Yeah.
Like, and spam.
Massive burgers.
What's a spam, eh?
Yeah, there's lots of spam. I couldn't believe how much spam there was. Like, I only ever use spam for fishing.
Yeah. That's what poor people eat, right?
Yeah, totally. I don't even think poor people would eat it. Apparently the place where we were staying below, it was well known for spam sushi. And it was apparently Barack's favorite. Ooh. Yeah, so there you go. President Barack Obama, spam sushi is the way to go. Right, so anyway, on this episode, we are going to talk about the Drone Worlds and our experiences leading up to it, being there, and our thoughts of the event, and also potentially some ideas for things we can do in New Zealand to improve the racing here.
Wings.
Well, yeah, but we'll get to that. So let's just recap on what the Drone Worlds was. It was about, a year ago now that it... About a year ago. There was an announcement from DSA or whatever they were called back then saying, we are going to put on a world event and you need to qualify in-country to attend. And there's five spots per country. So we were all like, yay, this is going to be awesome. We did our qualifying quite early. We got our five pilots and we got our five, did we get five Wings pilots? I think you all got it by default.
We did have at one point, and then what's his face fell apart?
Spooner.
Yeah.
Scotty Spoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had some stand-ins for that. So we had enough pilots to attend the event. We had the qualifiers at Levin. Everyone got through that we thought we were going to get through, apart from maybe... Cameron Shields,
yeah,
but
choked hard.
Yeah. Anyway, everyone got through, so we had the team. So it was there were announcements coming up to the event with prizes and blah blah blah, and where it was. And it was going to be how do you say that place?
Kualoa
Ranch, which is apparently where they filmed Jurassic Park. And they're also currently filming Jumanji. That's Jumanji as well.
Bit of
trivia for you. And that's where it was going to be held. Now, I had no idea where this place was in relation to Hawaii until we eventually booked our hotel. Anyway, we'll get to that. So, yeah, the event was announced. Wings, quads, world championships. Now,
it was more than that. There was Wings quads. There was giant quads, giant quad racing.
True, there was, and there was a virtual, simulator one.
There
blah
was
blah blah, blah online
diving stuff.
Yeah, loads of stuff. So loads of real cool. Everyone was super excited. And there was a ton. There was tons of events you could sign up to in addition to the championship qualified event. Now. Up to that point, there was only the Drone Nationals that had gone on, that had been done by these people. The second event that these guys put on prior to the Worlds was the Drone Nationals in the US on Governor's Island in New York. So we were all kind of waiting for that to see what was going to happen with, because they were going to run the wings and it was kind of a test bed for what was going to happen at Worlds. Unfortunately, yes, an epic fail on their part. Not only did they cut a lot of the events out, the coverage was really poor. We'd been blessed with DR1 prior to that. So we were kind of like expecting something very similar, but alas, it was not. It was covered by ESPN though, which was pretty cool, but apparently a lot of people only got one pack, one battery.
Course was kind of cool though.
The course was cool.
But cool's been redefined since that multi-GP thing.
Oh, yeah. So since this epic fail of the Governor's Island, Chris Thomas, who runs the multi-GP stuff in the US, combined a whole bunch of UTT courses and stepped it up a notch and put in this Skygate thing, which was four gates going upwards into the sky one way, and then it was kind of like a bridge with no middle, and then four gates on the other side descending and into some mega technical sections. Immense track. Kind of a slap in the face to what they did in Governor's Island, because they were able to get, they had three tracks, and then people were running 20 batteries in like 4 hours, as opposed to one for 3 days or 2 days or whatever it was. So we were kind of worried at that point. Now for quads, the track didn't really matter too much. We kind of guessed what it might be, and we didn't get the track details right up until we were pretty much leaving to go to Hawaii. So we kind of had to guess what the track might be like based on the Drone Nationals and what happened at Governor's Island. So it was, we thought, it was going to be in a paddock. There might be some trees around. It was going to be some awesome jungle track that we were going to run. There's going to be like a tight technical track, and there was going to be, I guess we guessed, a flowing kind of open high speed track. For your wings, what was the information you had prior to getting there?
The whole way through has always been Big Sky. We were supposed to be up in the mountaintops, dive bombing through epic gaps in the cliffs, and just being generally amazeballs. Supposed to be Big Sky is what they called it.
Big Sky. This place was surrounded by mountains on either side, right? Yeah. So you were
epic expected location.
Yeah. Epic. And there were some videos of guys with wings flying up to the top of these mountains and coming shooting right back down, right?
I wanted to be them. That was me. I wanted to be them. What we got was a little bit different.
Yeah. So that's what we were promised anyway. So about, what, a week or 2 weeks before the event, something like that, a whole massive storm of rumours came around, and we eventually got the track layouts, and we're like, okay, that's not kind of what we expected, but okay, we'll roll with it, at least for the quads. They were talking about power loops for on the track, and basically it was just a big circle with a power loop in it, for the most part, for the quads.
That's my kind of track.
Yeah, and we had no information about this supposed jungle track. So, headed to Hawaii. Now, I headed to Hawaii on the Tuesday, which was the day prior to registration, I think.
Yeah, for the Aloha, maybe.
Yeah, now a lot of guys had already got there like a week early, which in hindsight probably would have been, I guess, a better idea if you wanted to compete properly.
The track wasn't really up until we got there, though.
No, but it would have been nice
to... The track wasn't even up until we came down and went up and came down and went up and changed 57 times. But...
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were running the Aloha Cup for quads first anyway. So that was one track that was set up. And the Aloha Cup was for guys that didn't qualify to get into Worlds, to allow the top 10 pilots to get into the qualifiers. Unfortunately, one of our guys, Phil, didn't get through. He was, I think, 11th.
Did he compete?
He did.
In the Aloha, sorry.
Yeah, he competed in the Aloha. So he did awesome. He was 11th, unfortunately. Maybe next time. So that went on, and that's how Night Fury and I think Brain Drain and a few others got through as well. That weren't able to qualify at Drone Nationals, Drone Nationals in New York. So anyway, we got there on the Tuesday, headed out to the field. Pretty much nothing set up for the most part, from memory. Oh no, there was the tents were up. I think they were tents still were up putting. Yeah, so they were just putting up the track for the Aloha. So pretty much we did nothing that day. Yeah. Met up with the guys, did a bit of a fly, did some testing and some little bit of tuning, make sure our quads were still working. What did you do when you got there?
I walked around and went, wow, not well.
Yeah. So just for those that don't know, it was pretty much when we were told where to stay in Hawaii, we were told that was a hotel, Ala Moana, yeah, which is in Waikiki, which is pretty much on the other side of the island,
yeah,
the direct opposite side. And it was an hour drive a day, yeah, to get to this place. And there's nothing out there.
Why?
Like nothing. Yeah, exactly. Why? Why would you tell us to do this when we could have stayed closer to the venue and just poodle on down with the rest of the people?
It was hell expensive too, Ala Moana.
Oh yeah. Oh, was it? How much was your accommodation? Oh,
it was like reasonable price, and then they add like tax for being tourists. And oh my god, it cost a buttload. I think our final bill was $800 each for sharing a room.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Per night?
No, not per night.
In total.
So it was $1,600 for the two of us to share a room. And it was pretty average tiny little room in the average little
hotel. Yeah.
She wasn't cheap, mate.
Ooh, that's a bit of a stinger. The thing that got me was the getting to the event. Because obviously you and I and Brad, Bradley Pearpoint, were supposed to share a car, and then I was supposed to switch with other Brad and Cam. Mm. However, they decided to not get a car, which meant that I was Ubering every day and then begging for lifts on the way back.
Low jobs for lifts, that's what I had, mate.
Yeah. So that was awesome. Anyway, so that was kind of where we were staying and how we got to the event. So day two was the start of the Aloha Cup, and I think the first day of registration, so we were able to go and register and kind of have a look around the event. Still nothing spectacular. The racing was pretty average, I thought, for the Aloha Cup. It definitely wasn't as good as the world's actual racing.
It was average for rotocross, even the track was just an average rotocross in New Zealand.
Yeah, it was a flat track. It had an up and over, and that was it.
Yeah, we've done more than that.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. It was in a paddock, and it had an up and over, like a turny, four gate turn type thing, and that was about it. Pretty av.
Pretty bland, really. Land.
Yes, yeah. And the racing wasn't particularly fun to watch, I thought. It wasn't close racing. There was like maybe one or two guys that were close, and then, back through the field you might have maybe another three or four people carrying on. They started with eight, but a lot of people crashed out pretty early, or had issues or whatever. And it, just to watch, it wasn't that exciting. There was no announcers, or anything like that. And the timing system they were using was the TBS, the new TBS one, which I don't think is out yet.
Sure, I know, the serious one, not the little one.
Yeah. This was the multi VTX tracking system, not the one to one that they've got out at the moment. Apparently, it will be available soon, but
I think it needs some more development, mate.
Yeah. So we'll get to that bit. So that's the system they were using for timing. I thought so what they were doing for the Aloha Cup was they were doing a double elimination. So you had two attempts to get through to the finals, which I thought was a great format. It meant you could have a couple of bad, well, you could have, what, two bad rounds and, well, no, one bad round and then scrape through. And if you were winning events or in the top four of each event, then you would pretty much just guarantee yourself a final spot. And because you had eight pilots, it meant that you were more likely to get through as well, as opposed to just four was what we would normally run. So if you had four pilots, you'd have to get second, which is a lot harder than first to fourth, typically. So what did you do for the wings on that day? Did you do anything?
No, they scrapped the Aloha Cup.
For wings?
They qualified for the Aloha Cup qualifier. There was a scrapped it all. And so anyone who entered Aloha Cup instantly went into the Worlds.
Oh, well, that was all right.
Yeah, so they got a pretty good deal.
Yeah, so it's pretty much like the New Zealand Wings qualifiers, and whoever entered pretty much just got straight through.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
It was interesting. In hindsight, they probably shouldn't have, because then everyone who had actually qualified to get there would have got more airtime.
Yeah. So how many pilots were in the Wings?
30-odd.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't realize it was that many.
Yeah, but the actual time we got flying was pathetic per day. Between the amount of goat fuckery to try and get in the gate, because we had the early morning schedule. So we were supposed to start flying at 7 and then finish around 10 or something like that every day.
Yeah.
What actually happened is we'd get there at 7, no one would be there to unlock the gates, or that when we got the gate code, that had changed the gate locks. So then we get in there, if we ever got in there, put up our course, because it was shared a bunch of the same area as the mini quad course, do our races, pull the course back down so the mini quad guys can fly. So the actual time in the air we got every day was maybe an hour with 30 people.
Which is not enough to be able to go in the train.
Course, yeah. To do anything like the whole event, I did 5 laps.
Awesome.
Yeah, she's expensive laps, mate.
Yeah, and your planes that you'd expect based on the big air,
yeah,
were not
totally inappropriate. We went from flying big sky, diving through the cliffs, and being amaze balls to flying in the same area as a rugby field. And when we've got these planes that are load up to fly for 5 minutes at 140 miles an hour, it's not really the ideal machine.
No. So
we're a little bit screwed.
Now, the other competitors had literally, you know, foam triangle planes.
Yeah.
For the most part. What you'd expect from a wing.
The Theory Ws, which the Horizon Hobby guys are running, they were perfect for it.
Yeah.
Lightweight. They weighed about 700 grams and ours are about 1.5 kilos.
Because the
races are supposed to last for 5 minutes, which means you need around a 5,000 milliamp hour full cell to do it. And they're running 2,000 milliamp hour full cell because the races are only lasting for 2.5 minutes. So,
So completely wrong spec.
Totally wrong spec, yeah. We read the rules, shouldn't have.
Yeah, should have just skirted around them. Got your foam triangles.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so that was the Aloha Cup. Obviously, we know who got through from that. Then that went off, 2 days, I think, from memory?
Yeah, Aloha Cup did for you guys, so it didn't for us. We had a whole bunch of screw-ups and screw-arounds and practices that were qualifiers, and it fell apart.
Right, okay. So the Aloha Cup, 2 days. So that was 2 days of racing that people got to do that a lot of other people didn't. Obviously, there was pressure on to get through, but still, it's 2 days of racing. Mm. And then we started the World's Championship racing after all the other events had been binned.
Yeah.
So for quads, there was, 37 countries, and there was 140 pilots or so, 140-ish pilots anyway for quads.
Three Portaloos.
Yeah, so and three Portaloos. I avoided using any of those.
Oh, they weren't even flash Portaloos to start with, and they at the end of the event, they were far from flash.
Yeah, that wasn't it just literally a hole in the ground? It wasn't even a chemical one?
Nah, it's like not even a place to wash your hands properly.
Oh, grotty.
Oh, she was not good, mate. She was not good.
I did all my business before I got there. I just held it in.
Mm.
Pro tip there for you, if you ever go to one of these events again.
I just found someone's stray bag and duck off.
True. Nice.
Do your business, put it back on the table, walk away.
Plenty of leaves.
Yep.
All right. So first day of the qualifiers. Now, what was supposed to happen is we were supposed to be split into two groups. This is for the quads. Split into two groups. We were going to run one on this epic jungle track and one on the main track. Unfortunately, it wasn't really a jungle track. It was just a track on a field further up the hill. And the main track was changed around again to what was eventually the final racetrack. Massive power straights, like holding full throttle for what, 2, 3 seconds, 4 seconds even.
It was a pretty epic. Like I've seen some power tracks we have in New Zealand. Everyone's like, oh god, it's a power track. We don't like power tracks. But this was a fucking power track.
Yeah, this was all power. There was 6 straights, all full throttle.
Mate, she was ready for bussing.
However, I will give them kudos for the middle section.
That was quite cool. Track.
The middle section and the end section. So the middle section, after the first couple of gates, there was like this power loop section, which was pretty cool. Nobody actually power. Well, I'll say nobody power looped it. A couple of people did power loop it at first, and then realised how slow a power loop was, and then just ended up doing a corkscrews. So basically, just go up and look at the gate and just power through it. Then immediately after that power loop, there was an up and over, and that was quite a high up and over as well. And the gate behind that up and over was reasonably close. So you have to kind of blip the throttle out of the power loop just to hover, almost just slowly start descending after the up and over. And then you get through the gate, immediate right turn, and then a massive power section. And then before the straight, you would come out through a massive gate, and then Immelman over. So that's basically a backflip with a half roll. But again, a few people did that at first and then realised that's a little bit slow, and you'd be better off just corkscrewing out of that as well. So those couple of sections were actually really good on the track. The rest of the track was just pants. It was just a massive full throttle track. And most pilots, I'll say most pilots, there were a lot of pilots on the first day at least that were running that track and were not even able to finish the track because the battery gave out.
Yeah, poor old Brad Kay, that was gutting.
I think he had issues with the packs he was running, but there was a lot of guys that we were watching the video of that were getting onto kind of their third lap or 2.5 laps in, and then just black screen because the battery was dying. A lot of guys were running or trying to run 1300s. That was just not going to work. Then I ran a 1500, and even mine on 2300 motors, pretty much just sat at full throttle for the whole track, just to try and keep up. On a 1500, I was hitting 12.9 volts on my about two and a half laps in. So I had to baby the thing across the line, otherwise it would just black out on me. And on the second day, this is the first day. Now Ash, Scott, and Brad were on the second track. So Yongzi and I were on the first track. The other guys were on this super tiny technical track, and they were just absolutely crushing everybody. I think they were like third, sixth and ninth or something. Like they were I think they were top 15, top 10 on that track. And we were supposed to switch over, so you take your best three times from one and best three times from the other. However, once we'd done our three on the main track, for whatever reason, they canned the second track, brought all those people across, canned the people that were on the main track, and then the people that were on the small track then had to run three laps or three goes on the main track. They actually only got through one because it was like 3 o'clock at that time. Just the sheer numbers of getting these people through was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So all of those laps that were done on the short track completely binned, and then they had to restart and do them all on the main track. Now what that did was, on the second day when we were supposed to switch tracks, there was obviously no other track to switch to. So all the guys that were running on the small track had to then rerun all of their runs that they'd done on the main track, on the small track, on the main track, and try and get times. And because the guys on the main track on the first day did three, they had to also get three, but there was actually more people in the second group for some reason. I don't know why, but anyway, so it meant that everybody only got three goes. So on the first day, I had my first run. What happened on my first run? I think I tagged somebody or somebody tagged me and blew a prop out and I couldn't finish the race. I then put a safe three laps in, and that's what ended me. That's what allowed me to qualify in the end. Just a safe three laps. That gives you an idea of kind of how many people were crashing out and whatnot. And then on the third go, I was going to do a really fast run. Ended up clipping a gate or clipping the grass or something. I was just too low and ripped a motor off a machine and lost a battery. And it was at that point that they canned the remainder of our sessions, thinking that I'd have six to run, but unfortunately only had three. So everybody in the first group was pretty much shafted, because a lot of people thought that we'd have six runs, but we only had three. So anybody that didn't put a safe run in pretty much was out at that point. And the second guys had a bit of an advantage in that they knew that they weren't going to get any more than three runs. So Brad, Ash, and Scott all tried to do the main track. I think Brad was killing it on times. Brad and Scott were running 2600 kV motors on two blades. So they were able to put some real fast times in.
They were, Brad was up in the same as Night Fury, just running out of battery.
Yeah, just running out of battery. Yeah, so, I mean, when we watched, so Scott had a bit of a nightmare with the qualifying and didn't get through. But when we did the team event on the final day, he let loose on the track and he was absolutely tearing it up. I don't know. Unfortunately, he crashed, but he was so much faster than everybody else on the track. If he'd done that for the normal racing, he would have been way ahead, like way ahead. I don't know whether his battery would have lasted, or whether we could have held on to that sort of speed for three laps. But he was really quick, and that showed that 2600 kV was the motor to choose on that particular track. Unfortunately, so that was what happened with the qualifying. And it allowed me to get through on my safe lap to the top 32. And obviously Brad had crushed the time, so he was easily in. Scott didn't get through. Ash didn't get through. And Yongzi had crashed on a few gates, so he didn't get through either. So the final day. Oh, so what happened with you Wings guys for those two qualifying days?
Two qualifying days were... I can't remember, mate. Can't remember. So long ago. Brad got into the top 16 during the qualifiers.
This is Bradley Pearpoint.
Bradley Pearpoint, yes. And
Cam as well.
Cam did as well, yeah. Cam got into the top 8 during that. So he did pretty well. And then
in the qualifiers, yeah.
Yeah, the qualifiers, yeah.
So what happened, so Cam, prior to this, pretty much put very little practice in, as far as
I hear.
Yeah,
I think and flowing is fun, Jim.
Yeah, and what happened with, because he brought a foam triangle, didn't he?
Yeah, he brought a foam triangle,
brand new.
Here's a story. Brad saw the other guys running these little foam triangles, the Blade Theory Cam. Sorry, did I say Cam? Yeah,
you said Brad, but that's fine.
It was all roll of Cam. Saw these guys running the Theory W's and only on the track because they're so much lighter and they can turn and such like this in this tiny little track. And so he caught up his missus and told her to go to the hobby shop and order one overnight. So that turned up and he bought them the next day. Maiden flight, which was one of his qualifying laps, I think. Yeah, it would have been one of the qualifiers. Took it off and then some guy in the pits powered up his VTX. So
what?
Flight, okay. Literally like, at 30 seconds. And it flies off into the distance with no video signal. not a happy camper.
No. But to finish to the guy, he did sort Cam out.
He did. And the Horizon Hobby guys did as well. They were awesome.
Yeah, so Cam ended up racing one of the Team USA wings, didn't he? One of the
Furies? Same wing without the same power system. Yeah, so
that's pretty good.
Totally stock out of the box setup.
And he was eighth with that.
He was eighth, yeah.
That's pretty really, really good.
They're good, yeah. They turn really quickly. Don't have any straight line speed, but they turn quickly because it's light and such.
So that was pretty cool. So that's what happened with the wings. So final day, what happened there? So the top 32 guys were through. So we didn't get the top 32. So here's another story. We didn't get the top 32 results until what, 11 p.m.?
Yeah, at least. The same with the wings. We didn't know who qualified until.
Yeah. So we all went out and watched the All Blacks game. Crush Australia, and we were waiting for the results to see who was through. We knew Brad.
So you had to get up in the morning.
FPV was through. We weren't sure. I wasn't sure whether I was going to get through or not. I thought I might do based on my results, but because it was a safe run, I wasn't sure.
And the other problem was,
what's that?
There's a DSA factor as well.
Yeah, and the other problem was that halfway through the timing. They switched from the best three laps in your total time to a single lap showing on the board. So nobody really had an idea where they were in the field other than what their fastest lap was. So if you did three 35-second laps, you're sweet, but you had no idea that you'd done three 35-second laps. It only showed your best lap. And my best lap at the time, I think, was a 38. So we were like, okay. And most of the top 15, top 20 were sort of 39 to 32s, I think, for the most part, for the quads. So I wasn't sure whether I'd got through. Anyway, 11 o'clock came, we got the results. I just made it in with my safe lap. However, strangely, I'd gained 7 seconds on my lap time.
Yes, I fact.
Yeah, so I'd posted, it's on Facebook, a 2:05 originally, yeah, with my three laps. That was my safe run. However, when I actually qualified, I got a 1:57.6. And loads of people were like, what's it taking so long? What are you doing? What are you playing it? Because there was a bunch of issues with the timing system during the day. Turns out they were actually watching DVR footage and stop watching it to validate the times, because the issue with the timing system is that it's VTX based, which is okay. However, in Hawaii, when we were having the rain come through, it was super humid afterwards and it was knocking the timing system out. People were running 200 milliwatt VTXs and it was all sorts of issues. But mainly it was the humidity that was causing the timing issues. So the times couldn't be validated and couldn't be trusted completely. As an example, BMS Webb, so Thomas was running a race. He was leading the race. However, his dad noticed that second or third place in the race had got a faster time than Thomas, even though Thomas had won. So it was like, okay, this timing system's not right. Something's going on here. And that's what caused all the issues. A lot of people had issues with it afterwards. And that's why it took so long to get the results. And I suspect that's why my time was quicker than it actually was when it was initially recorded.
The random number generator was on fire.
Just rolled the dice. Yeah. So anyway, I managed to scrape through. However, got to the field and they were doing reruns.
Yep.
I had a video issue on my first run, and I managed to get a rerun out of that. And unfortunately, I got hit on my rerun, so kind of a wasted rerun. But on the final day, there were three groups of reruns to be done. So that's, what's my maths like? 24?
Yeah.
Yeah, close enough. 24 pilots to go through. That's not right.
They were doing this before the wings guys could set up the track to do their finals.
Yes. So this was supposed to be run at 6 a.m. and they posted this at 11 p.m.
Yeah.
in the messenger chat for people to be there at 6 a.m. the next morning to do their reruns. Clearly that was never going to happen and it didn't happen. I think there might have been like two guys there. Anyway, I messaged saying, you know, have I qualified, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, all the reruns are done. The story was all the reruns are done because the Wings guys were already out there. and I was still in. So anyway, got to the field about, I don't know, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, after you, just as your wings are still running. Tried to, I went and spoke to Scott Breslin to make sure that I was still in. Yes, all the reruns are done. Sweet, I'm still in. Okay, good. Went back, watched the wings. And I have to say, the wings to watch was awesome.
It was awesome. The final race, the last couple of races were really, really cool.
So to paint the picture in this epic landscape, they had four wings going, and it was a yacht start. So they would circle around, and there'd be a countdown. Was it 10, 9, 8, whatever? And then they'd all just go full throttle across the start-finish line and straight into a Immelmann. So it was a half loop with a roll on it, back out towards where they'd just come from, out towards the trees and whatnot, with a couple of slaloms and a what was it, kind of like a turning section, and then they would come back into the Immelmann section again. So at one point, there was two guys battling it out for first, where they were just Immelmanning together. It was just like formation flying. And there were only two or three wings apart. And these aren't big wings. But at one point, the two guys that were battling for third and fourth were coming into the same section as the guys that were battling for first and second. There was almost like a four-way midair. It was absolutely epic. And because they were so big, you could see them battling it out constantly throughout the track. So it was awesome to watch.
To watch it, because you can stand next to everyone and cheer people on and scream abuse. It was really
interesting. And you can see who's who as well. It's a lot easier to see than it is quads.
We had old David on the doing the commentating too, and he was really good at commentating because he knew everyone's names, what they were flying and such.
It's a bit easier with wings. So that was awesome to watch. That started off in the morning. Then after that had ran, they announced that they were going to do reruns again. And I was like, WTF? What are you doing reruns for? Turns out all those people that didn't get the message suddenly turned up and they were going to do reruns. So I was like, oh. So I didn't know whether I was in it or out again. Anyway, the reruns went through. And I was out. One guy had just posted it. I think he was a 157.4, and I was a 157.6. So I was out. I was like, oh, okay. Then I was back in again because Bapu had already cancelled. Had already pulled out because he couldn't use his HD system. So he was like, I've had enough of it. Pulled out. So I was back in again. But then there was some confusion and some results changes again, and I was back out again. And then, just before the event was actually going to start, I was back in again. So I was in and out of this top 32, three or four times. It was absolutely ridiculous. By the second out, I was kind of over it.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, well, I'm either in or I'm not. Don't really care at this point. Kind of just want this thing to go. So I can either watch it or be in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I eventually got into it. Watching the top 32 guys that are posted pretty similar times battle it out on the track was absolutely insane. You have no idea what it's like to watch guys that are only a second or two apart final laps battle out for at least the first lap anyway, where they are quad to quad. There's literally just a line of them, and to see them blast off the start line through the first two gates, still full throttle, coming out of the second gate back towards the power loop, and then you see all these guys power looping one after another, and it's just incredible to watch.
Like a swarm of bees. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just like me, and then it's awesome, and they're so close as well. To fly in it is just insane. One thing I haven't mentioned is that every single race I had to switch props afterwards because they were just beat up. I'd either tag somebody or you hit somebody, and you can't tell because you're flying so far away from yourself. If your quad continues flying, then you just carry on. But every single time I had to change props, how these guys, because there weren't that many mid-airs, I just don't understand how they can get that many people through consistently. But it was awesome to watch. And to fly in it was epic, because you'd see, for me at least, on my slow-ass quad, I'd see two, three, sometimes four people ahead of me, and we'd all just be in a line, and you'd just be following behind, and they might make a little bit of ground, but not too much, up until the second lap. But it was just awesome. So much fun. So much more interesting to watch than just four quads, where you've got two guys battling out for first and second, and then, you know, third and fourth might be battling out, or they might just crash. Because even if you have a couple of crashes, three crashes, you've still got a ton of people in the race. So it's much more interesting. That was my thoughts on it anyway. Still, on my first race, my quad wouldn't even arm. So it decided to not arm.
I remember that. I remember that.
I'm going to blame Scott for this. Not Scott Refflin, RC Freako, because he was fiddling with my quad, going, "Oh, bro, you've got a grand loop here going on," and then poking at it, and I don't know what he was doing. I think he even licked a prop, so he put his filthy non-qualifying disease on it, and it didn't even start on the line. So took it back to the table, managed to get it working again. I don't know what was wrong with it. I just made sure everything was connected and took the lid off and made sure it armed and blah blah blah. It was fine. Second go. So that was my first elimination gone. So I only had one left. Second go, on the line, ready to go. Full stick, all the way to the second gate. And I get hit by, I think, who do I get hit by? I get hit by somebody, and that breaks a prop or bends my prop or something, because it just hobbles after that point. Oh no, it didn't. That's not what happened. That's a complete lie. I was actually good. On my second run, I was good. I got to the Immelmann section, did a real quick snap, kind of quick yaw move, full throttle over the Immelmann gate, straight into the black flag.
Oh, I remember that. That was good.
Yeah, well, because it was...
I cheated when you hit the flag.
I kept it super tight. Apparently, I was running in like third or fourth at the time, and I was pretty close.
Yeah.
But yeah, just straight into the flag. I was like, oh, God's sake. And that was it. That was my run over at that point. So I didn't even complete a lap in the top 32, unfortunately. Brad didn't do much better either. I think he got one lap or maybe one and a half laps out. His batteries
were just shutting. Two and a half. Every single race he had got two and a half laps. Then on the final straight, he couldn't maintain
it. No, I don't think he got that much. I'd have to double check. But
He was up there at the start. He was like 4 meters ahead of everyone else from the get-go. It was amazing to watch. He was just smashing it out, and then two and a half laps in, out of battery, fell out of the sky, and everyone else overtook him. It was so painful to watch.
I remember, I don't remember. When I watched Night Fury's DVI afterwards, he's not on full throttle all the time.
Yeah.
He's really babying that thing around, because he was running 2700 kV motors with a RK5051s on it with a 1500 milliamp light. But if I was running that trying to keep up, it would be dead after like one and a half laps. Yeah. Easy, because you got to bear in mind these laps were well into the 30 seconds, and there was three laps,
and that's flying fast 30 seconds as well. It was like a normal road across course times three.
Yeah, a full throttle for probably a good two-thirds of that track.
Yeah.
So it was pretty intense on the old packs. But I have to say, though, that with all the failures of the event up until that point, the final day did make it for me. It was really awesome to watch the racing because it was so close. I think the winners, all
the way up to the finals, was a total clusterfuck, and then the finals happened, and it was entertaining racing.
Yeah.
Then we had the final hit from the DSA when it did it for everyone. When Scott Refflin came over and did his little speech thing, everyone sort of shook their heads and said, "Right, from now until 12, you've got the sky to yourself. Go nuts. And so we thought, hell yes, we're going to finally get to dive these cliffs with our jets. It's going to be awesome. And first guy launched his wing, and a DSA official came running over, abusing us. What are you doing flying? What are you doing? Get out of the air. Yeah. Just screaming his ass off, and that ended the fun. Then everyone had a pack of sad. I mean, it got drunk.
Yeah, that was pretty stupid. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, to watch the racing, that was awesome. So just to recap on what they were actually using, we were using, for the quads at least, mostly Unifies for the most part.
Yeah.
With TBS Triumphs and also the Fox Airs. I think a few people were using the video aerial system stuff, but for most part it was Triumphs and the Fox Airs. We were all running 25 milliwatt, and at one point we had 16 pilots. So we had, when we had the two tracks, they were only what, a couple of hundred meters away, if that.
Yeah.
And we had 16 pilots going with that issue, using bands A and E, odd numbers on A, and I think even numbers on E. Awesome. We had ground stations with a couple of crosshairs on, and I had no, other than that one time where I don't know what was going on, it must have been the ground station, but other than that I had perfectly clear video throughout. There was not, yeah, I got a couple of hits here and there, but for the most part it was actually pretty spot on.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I launched my wing with those stupid RPSMA Triumphs, the only ones you could get for a while there.
Yeah,
we were sharing them between two BVXs, me and Bradley. And so my wing got launched in one of the qualifiers without the antenna stuck on it. So I did the whole five laps with no antenna on my Unify, or Brad's Unify, actually.
Oh, there you go.
It was hairy, but she landed. The VTX is fine.
Yeah, and that's the good thing, is that if you do break something off, you're not going to cook it. I mean, the Unifies are a little bit special like that, but they seem to be impressive. Super clean as well.
If they don't seem to bleed. One of the old immersion 600s, that'd be dead in a second.
Oh, yeah, yeah, without a doubt. And then there was just no need to run 600 anymore.
It's not.
I think with a decent receiver, a couple of decent antennas, it's, you know, particularly on a rotocross event, there's no reason why we couldn't run 25 milliwatt.
Even the wings, 200 milliwatt was fine for what the course was flying. It was heaps.
Yeah. I reckon you could still get away with 25 on those for that course.
With that small course, yeah.
Yeah. Even with even if it was a bit bigger, even with decent antennas, it's still doable. So I would definitely like to see if we can get 6 legal channels.
Yeah, I think we can do 7 legally.
We can do 7 legals here.
Yeah.
With enough separation to not cause issues?
On 25, probably. Yeah.
Sweet. Okay, well, that's something for Matt to have a look at.
Yeah, Matt can do that. Hey, Matt, fix this.
Yeah. but it does mean that we need people with decent VTXs, and there's really no excuse not to buy a Unify now, the race one at least. It's so cheap. That's what, $40, $50? Something like that? Yeah. And that'll do pit mode as well, so you can pair it up on the pits, so you're not going to shoot people down, and you can change settings and whatnot whilst in pit mode. Awesome.
And when you power them on, they don't just blast the whole band, so you don't get a big video whiteout.
Yeah. So typically when you plug in a normal VTX, it will spam the entire spectrum and every channel. So that's why you get, when somebody powers on, you get that massive whiteout. You don't get that with a Unify. It's super low power when it's first powers on. And also the other important thing is the antennas. One of the things that was given to us prior to the event was a list of known working quality antennas. And the reason we were given that list was because they were known to work with the amount of frequencies that we were going to be running at the event. Axial ratio. So you want to be looking for anything that's close to or as close to 1 axial ratio as you can get. I think the Triumphs are like 0.98 or something. Most of the VAS stuff is 0.98 as well. I think the Fox Air ones were 0.98 as well.
Sparonets are junk.
Yeah, Sparonets are junk. Clover Leafs are rubbish. Lilianas are rubbish. Basically, the issue is that Well, that, this is, now correct me if I'm wrong here, the actual ratio basically means it's not going to spam outside of the channel that it's on.
It's the amount of circularization, the polarization circularity.
Mm. So, and it keeps it within the channel, right?
Yeah, yeah, stops it fucking going.
Yeah.
That's some technical talk there. Yeah. That's straight from Alex Greaves.
So it's fine to run your spiral nets and whatnot when you've got, you know, maybe four guys, but when you've got super low power and you've got eight guys running, or however many we're going to try and run, to be a social flyer, you need to have a good quality VTX and a good quality antenna.
Yeah.
They're not, the Fox Air ones are really cheap. They're the ones with the nice colored kind of bubbly things on top. Get them from Bangor, or I think there's a few people sell them locally, or get a Triumph. And also make sure you get a decent VTX. Ideally a Unify if you can. I think some of the FX ones, the newer ones, are probably okay as long as they can do 25 milliwatt. And also look at getting some sort of diversity unit ground station for racing.
A good one, too, just, not a crappy one.
Yeah, just so you can put a couple of crosshairs on and get full coverage.
Crosshairs are the way. Patches are dead.
In saying that, I ran Yongzi's goggles.
Yeah.
He was running the Real AC, you know, the Furious D clone from Banggood.
Yeah.
I was running that on a single antenna, and that was an Omway single antenna, and it was fine.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So you could potentially use that for your goggles. You don't need a full ground station if you don't want to. Just have a look at a module, a diversity module. And that will do pretty much the same thing for the most part, or close enough.
Not really a lot. I spent so much money on spironets and immersion patches. I've got like 50 of the things, and they're junk.
Yep. Well, I mean, they were good at the time, but
they were good at the time 6 months ago, but now they've just been totally eclipsed. Crosshairs and the Triumphs just destroy them.
Yeah. And have you looked inside one of those Triumphs and seen what's inside there?
No, I haven't actually. I haven't broken one.
Oh, dude, they're mad. They've got, in each corner, they've got these metal bars, probably about a fingertip's length, just all pointing inwards. That's it.
Really?
Just these metal bars. These little, they're like solder. Solder thing, obviously a bit harder than that, but it's like solder kind of. They're like a wire, like a solid core wire in each corner. It's quite strange.
Ooh.
They're not in a clover leaf kind of arrangement or
sort of magic like going on. Magic works, though. Works.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean the majority, I saw a few Foxes, but not many. Most people were running Triumphs, which was good. So what do we think needs to happen for New Zealand racing?
More people up, good gear like we've just spoken about. One of the big things I took from that, from talking to the guys who designed the tracks, especially for the wings, but it applies to the mini quads as well, is if you can race it with an RC car, you shouldn't be racing it. So it's adding 3D elements to our tracks. So doing power loops, stuff like that, hitting gates that are high, adding the third dimension there.
The three dimensions.
Third dimension.
Yeah.
Then it makes the track so much more interesting to race.
Oh, yeah, totally, totally. And I don't think there's really any excuse not to have those in there anymore.
No.
We need to be pushing the hobby further, the racing further. What do you think of, because at the moment we're running most laps in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Frankly, that's arse.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate that format. It doesn't encourage racing in any way, shape, or form. I don't have to race anybody else. I just have to cruise around for however many laps, because for the most part, none of these tracks, you can get far enough ahead of somebody to warrant going the extra bit further and risking crashing.
Yeah, because you can't get an extra lap in there.
No, it's just retarded. I really don't like it.
We're going to solve that, eh? As soon as we get reliable timing systems.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah. Well, yes, but what do you do with the timing system? You still need a better format. It needs to be...
Then you can get first past the post again with your timing.
Yes. Yeah. Ideally, what I'd like to see is a 2-day events, not just 1 day.
Yeah.
So you have the first day as a race qualifying session, some practice, whatever it might be, where you where the guys go out, they do the fastest three laps.
Yep.
Those go towards seeding to the final, however many.
Yep.
So if we have 32 pilots, the top 12 might go through.
Yep.
Yeah, into the finals for the next day.
Good plan. I like that plan.
Or everybody goes through. If it's 30 parts, everybody goes through, but they get seeded into brackets.
Yeah.
So that you don't have somebody that's just been cruising around for 5 minutes getting into a winner's bracket. There needs to be some sort of sorting of the races.
Yeah, keep it all competitive.
Yeah, because I want to race people. I don't want to for the qualifying. That's fine. Seed me based on my time. That's cool. But I actually want to race people across the line. I don't want to go to a race where I'm just cruising around for 2 minutes collecting laps because that to me isn't racing.
Yeah.
If somebody passes me when that's happening, it doesn't really matter. Just carry on going cruising around. But if it's first past the post and you're in a top seeded bracket, maybe a double elimination type format, so you can have a bad round. Because we all get bad rounds, So I really like the format that was done at the Worlds. Obviously, we can run that kind of thing with a timing system.
Yeah.
I'd prefer not to have to attach something to my quad to be able to run the timing.
Yeah.
There are a number. Speaking to the Furious, is it Furious D? This is Furious D, isn't it? The UK guys.
Furious FPV, isn't it?
Yeah, one of the two.
Anyway. These are drifting fellas, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. Something like that. So anyway, those guys, they are coming out with a VTX-based timing system that will track 16 pilots, you said?
Yep.
And can do split times and all sorts of cool stuff. It's in prototype phase at the moment, but should be out in the next few months.
How does it differ from the TBS one?
I don't think it differs too much. I think it's pretty much the same sort of thing. I think we'll probably see a few of them pop up now, which is good. I still wouldn't mind even just having the single one and just running those per person.
Yeah, well, that would if Road Across brought 10 of them, brought 8 of them.
Well, we just need 8, wouldn't we? Well, however many we can run an event, we just need 6. 8 because it's VTX based. So,
that might just be an option. Run those.
The only issue with them is that I don't know whether they link back to a computer or not, or whether you can.
iPhone.
Yeah, so you'd have to note down the faster times and then do a bit of spreadsheeting afterwards. That's pretty minor. If it's a 2 day event, that's pretty minor.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my thoughts. So, in short, good quality VTX, good quality antennas. Some sort of timing system for a 2 day event, 3D elements for tracks, and wings racing.
Wings racing is coming.
I'd actually be quite keen for that.
It's going to be heaps of fun.
Because I know we've tried to do it with the X1s, but it's a bit of a failed effort.
Yeah, it's you've got to get the right track, the right rules. Mm. I think we're going to have that now.
Well, we should probably try it at Mount Fort sometime.
Yeah, definitely. I'll be keen. King's been. I think the first of the Wings one's going to be in December in Taupo, I think.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
November,
December, whatever the Taupo one is.
November something, isn't it? It'll be next month. In a few weeks, and probably.
Maybe the first
one. I know there's a Road Across event on as well. I need to get my machines.
So all the Wings stuff will share the Road Across. We'll share parts of the course at least, so we just run.
Are we going to run it on the same day though?
It depends how many pilots and stuff we get, I guess.
I don't like time detracted away from quad flying.
Mate, just going to deal with it. Get yourself a wing. 2017's coming soon, bro.
Yeah. So, anything else you want to add, or are we pretty much done?
I think we covered it.
I will say that after trying those Racecraft 5051s,
Tri-Blades,
they are what APC should have been.
Yeah.
they are legit. Don't be running them full throttle everywhere, because they will kill your packs, and that's really not what they're for, in my opinion. Their low speed handling and acceleration is mad. That you can just dump the throttle, and you still got full control. There's no prop wash and nothing. And that was with a pretty much standard tune. But just on throttle acceleration, like from a standstill to a go, it was incredible.
Pretty quick. Quite, really quiet. Quick props anyway.
Obviously, they suck some juice, but I think on a race, they'd actually be quite good. And I didn't find... I've just switched back to 2600s again, and I didn't find the issue that I used to have with 2600s, and that was the low-end throttle issue, where you'd be pretty much bouncing off the dead stick just to keep it low to the ground around the technical section. It was still controllable, so I want to give them a whirl. I'll reserve complete judgment and full hype training until I've run them for a bit. I might run them at Teipo, we'll see.
They do definitely sound quiet. It's a good thing for a prop.
Yeah, I mean, from the shape of them, what do you think?
There's a lot of hype involved, particularly at the tip.
Oh, you reckon?
A lot of tip hype.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. We better chat with Johnny, because he's probably done a course on it.
He probably has. There's a few courses out there on tip hype.
Yeah. Oh, since we're talking about hype, XL frames were everywhere.
Yeah.
At Worlds. And I think that's what Night Fury is running as well now. Legit. And I know, because I listened to the podcast. He was on the Quad Talk podcast.
Oh, was he?
The latest one. And he was talking about his prep and all this jizz and jazz and blah, blah, blah. But he pretty much said what I said about the XL frames. The pitch angle remains stable and it just goes forward. Yeah. So for racing, for him, is legit. So pretty much what I've been saying all the time. And he's also running Race Flight as well. Just so you know.
Race Flight, that's the one where they just copied the GitHub, isn't it?
Apparently.
Yeah. Do you remember the Podtalk podcast guys say, hey, you know that Magnazan Hype Train podcast? You know those guys on there? Do you reckon they do that?
Probably not.
Probably not, no.
No. But, you know, we're giving information out here.
That's what it's about, man. It's about informing the public.
Yeah. Yeah. And having some of this listened to. So hopefully this will be, Hadley will be listening to this probably. Because apparently they listen to it in the workshop. So shout out to Hadley. Oh, shout out to Quad Junkie as well. Thanks for everything to get me to Worlds.
That's a good point, actually. Shout out to the sponsors.
And Model Fly New Zealand as well.
Yeah, Model Fly New Zealand hooked us up.
Yeah.
Mega Motor hooked up the Wings team. Eagle Tree Systems hooked us up with
Race Flight for sponsoring a board for me, at least. I don't think I got one for Ash in the end. Sting for him. And do we have any other sponsors? Oh, Tattoo as well, for sorting out some packs. So that was quite nice of them. The top pilots were really good. I don't like the shape, though, because I couldn't get them far enough forward for where the strap was on my machine, on an XL, because you want the weight right forward. But other than that, they performed really well. Yeah, so there we go. All right, well, thanks, everybody, for listening. You know where to catch us. We'll be back when we're back.
Yeah.
See you later. Don't run illegal channels, people.
Stay safe.